an associate pastor at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Brother Tracy, you come and preach what God's laid on your heart tonight.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for salvation. I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray you bless this time, get a word you want me to speak. Lord, I pray that you have the Holy Spirit speak through me. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless in a mighty way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
When I was over at the horse barn the other day, I had a maiden mare have her foal, and she had some little problems, and she didn't want anybody in her stall with her, and everybody kept the vets were coming in and poking her and doing all kinds of stuff with her, and we finally let her outside a day or two later, and we was going to go get her and bring her back in, and she didn't really want to go, but she really needed to see the vet. The vet was there to help her, and she did have a problem. And I got to thinking when I got back home that how many times in our lives that God was trying to get us somewhere that we didn't want to go, but he was doing it for our good. And that's where some of this has come in, where I got some of this. I'm probably going to say some stuff that I've already preached on in the few months that I've been here, but bear with me, and maybe I'm going in a different direction. Well, I hope so. I hope the Holy Spirit does something. When I got out of high school, before I got out of high school, me and a buddy of mine went to see a movie. And we decided that we was going to join the Navy. And we was going to go in the buddy system, and we was going to change the world. And but when I graduated high school, I was 17. So this was our junior year. And I didn't get to join the military because your parents had to sign for you if you wasn't 18. And my parents wouldn't sign for me. So none of my family wanted me to go in the military, so I, the day after I graduated, I was in a Ford Bronco going to Houston, Texas, and to work with my brother-in-law, because they thought if they got me away from Granbury and got me working and stuff, I wouldn't join the military, and so sure enough, I didn't. But anyway, when I got there, my brother-in-law had some great words for me. I didn't understand totally what they were, but one of them was, you're going to have ups and downs in your life. And what you do when you're down is going to determine how high you bounce back up. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely true. I know a lot of people that lost some stuff, maybe got down, and they just stayed down and died. They just gave up. And if you would turn to Psalm 92, I'm going to be in a bunch of places, so bear with me. Maybe it makes sense after I get finished. Hopefully it does. Psalm 92, verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now, the first time I ever heard anything about fresh oil was Jack Hiles. And I heard a story about him going, and he was down and he was wore out, and he needed something. So him and another guy in his church stayed up all night long praying for fresh oil. And he said, sure enough, they prayed all night long together, having tears, weeping, crying, really praying. And about 4 o'clock in the morning, God came in the room and he got some fresh oil. But there's another guy that got anointed with some oil, and his name was David. And bear with me, I know we went through this before. David got anointed when he was a teenager. Samuel came and anointed him king of Israel. And you know the story, soon after that he went to Saul to play the harp. He's in the king's palace. Then he goes back to tending sheep, and he comes and kills Goliath, and then everything's good for a while, and then he starts running for his life from Saul, and he goes from the king's palace to living in caves, and then when he's 27 years old, he's anointed king of Judah, and then when he's 30, he becomes king of Israel. He had several times that he could kill Saul and take the kingdom. A lot of people wanted him to do that, but he said no. See, David had character. And you see, David was chosen. God chose David. And because God knew what was in his heart. There's a lot of us that are called. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. David was a chosen. There's another teenager in the Bible. His name was Daniel. And he was picked because of his wisdom, his understanding, and his knowledge. Where do we get wisdom from?
From God.
From the Bible. From God. God calls, asks Solomon, what do you want? In your heart's desire, what do you want? And he goes, I need wisdom. You want me to lead these people? I don't know anything about leading these people. I need wisdom to lead these people. And so God says, you know what? You asked for the right thing. I'm going to make you the richest person in the world. Because you asked for the right thing. We was talking while we was walking today, and we was talking about people who get married early because they fall in love. But what they really are is they are infatuated with each other because of sex. I know two people in my whole high school that got married right after high school that are still together. The rest of them got divorced. Why? Because they weren't in love with each other. They just wanted something from each other. One of the greatest things that you could do is wait for the wife that God has for you, because that'll screw your whole life if you marry the wrong person. You got to have somebody that's going to stick with you in the hard times. Because see, a lot of those people that got married, something happened and they went through some hard times and they split apart. This is not what I wanted. Well, life is not all ups. Life is not all about mountaintops. You'll spend more time in the valley than you will in the mountaintop.
Amen.
In fact, you'll spend a lot more time in the valley than you will on mountaintops. You gotta understand it's about character. It's about really knowing what God has anointed you to do. Because see, when we get saved, God anoints us to do something. And just like David needed to be anointed, I want to tell you something. Just like Jack Hiles said he needed some fresh oil, all of us during our life is going to need some fresh oil. Go to Psalm 23. First of all, go to Psalm 1. When I come to the village, I got this was hammered into us. So, Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I want to tell you something. When I got saved, I didn't have anything in this world, and all of a sudden I started getting stuff back, and I wanted to be the most blessed person in the world. Have you ever hung around somebody who gripes all the time? What do you start doing? You start griping. Have you ever hung around somebody that gossips all the time, starts talking about everybody in the world? Well, if you hang around that person long enough, you're going to start gossiping. You know where I turned, where I went the wrong way? I started hanging around the wrong crowd. I started hanging around people that was going to laugh at my jokes and have a good time. And you know what? I wish I never would have started hanging around them people. My life would have turned out so different. You see, I wanted to fit in with the crowd. And the Bible says that crowd's called the world. And we should hate the world. And if we're hanging around God's people and we're doing what God wants us to do, the world's going to hate us. And you know what we want as teenagers? You know what we want as grown people? We don't want anybody to hate us. We want everybody to love us. We wanted to fit in. And that's what all of us want. But the Bible says if you're going to do what I want you to do, you're not going to fit in. You're not going to fit in. Hey, guess what? People are going to hate you. I want to tell you something. Of all my friends back in high school, I still know a bunch of them. But most of the people I was trying to impress, I don't know where they are. And they really don't care where I'm at. So there's one person on this earth, or not on this earth, but there's one person that you would try to bless and try to impress your whole life. And that's God. Because see, when you make God happy, As we're fixing to read, he'll make your enemies sit down and eat with you. That's who we need to impress, not anybody else. But even as teenagers and even as grown people, we try to impress people. We try to make people like us. We try to fit in with the crowd. And that's not what we should do. So I want to talk about character mainly tonight. Let's go to Psalm 23. Wait a minute. Let's finish up. Let's read this again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I don't know about you, but I want to prosper. Remember I told you I want to be blessed. I want what I do to prosper. I want it to bear fruit. What do I got to do? Go to college? Get a degree? Them are all nice things. But it says in verse 2, what you got to do to prosper. It says you got to delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth you meditate day and night. Do you know God's word? I used to tell people this all the time. You don't know enough of God's word. You don't know what God says to be blessed. You don't know what God says to be cursed. To go out in this world and make your decisions on your own. Anybody that comes, and I used to tell one of these guys that came to me and wanted to go to college, I said, I don't know if that's what God wants for you, but I can tell you right now that he doesn't want that right now. And I'll tell you why. Anybody that comes in this hallway, you're a follower. Most the people that come in this hallway, the new guys, they're not saved, but you'll follow them no matter where they're going. So you think you're good enough, you're rooted and grounded enough that you'll go to college and follow the right people?
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
And I said, don't think that I'm your enemy because I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth because if you stay here, and I had a bunch of guys at the time in the hallway, with you stay here or not, it doesn't help me. But I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to guide you where, like that horse that I was trying to get into the vet the other day, that I'm trying to help you. I'm not here to hurt you. As a teenager, you know what? I had people try to tell me the right way to do something, and I tuned them out. And I want to tell you something. I wished I'd have listened to them. In fact, if I could go back and do some things in my life, I'd listen more than run my mouth. And I'd obey. You see, there's times in our lives where we want to make somebody else happy instead of making God happy. Most of the time in our life, we're trying to make us happy instead of trying to make God happy. It says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I can't tell you how many of my friends that I went to high school with are dead now. By the grace of God, I'm here. And only by the grace of God. But they perished already. I've had guys that come to the hallway, they're perished already. Why? Because they never made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. They perished. They didn't listen. They didn't take good advice. They was trying to figure out their way to get to heaven. I know what's right for me.
Yeah.
And that's where most teenagers are. You know, let's go to Psalm 23. This is what every person should do in this whole world. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I tell you something? Everybody knows this song. Just about everybody. You can find anybody on the street. No. You can find a lot of people who know this song. Let's put it that way. Okay.
In a nursing home, you can find.
Yeah. Yeah. But can I tell you something? Most of them don't know their shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's not their shepherd.
That's right.
They're their own shepherd. They know what's right. You know what we do? Well, I don't like this in the Bible, so I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to believe the things that I want, and the things that I don't like, I'm not going to believe, and I won't read them anymore. Well, most people don't even read the Bible. But is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord leading your life? Because it says right out there, I shall not want. Man, I got a lot of desires. I got a lot of dreams. Pastor talks about a Ranger basketball. Somebody talks about a Ranger basketball in here all the time. I want a Triton with a Mercury on that sucker. Yeah. See, Triton goes with Tracy. Yeah. I love skeeters, but they're rough riding. They're great to fish on, but once you get them over, they're tri-hulls. And once you start going over waves and stuff, they'll beat you to death.
My brother's got a tracker.
A tracker? I tell you what, any boat, when you don't have a boat, the ninth boat, isn't it? Yeah. I like one of them, ones that got a trolley motor on it and stuff, you know? That's nice. No big motor, just a trolley motor. Let's get me in the water.
I like the boat just to get in the water.
We all have a lot of wants.
Amen.
But what he's saying is, I'll take care of you.
Yeah.
When his disciples were feeling down and stuff, and Jesus told them, he said, when I sent you out without anything, did you lack anything? And they said, no, we didn't. No, why? Because he took care of their needs.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what he was showing them when he sent them out with nothing. He said, I'm going to take care of you from now on. I'm the person that takes care of you. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, when I was leading that horse in there, that's what I was thinking of. I'm leading this horse, and I said, I'm taking you to the vet. The vet needs to fix you. And the vet did a great job. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his namesakes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It says in verse 4, it says, Though I walk through the shadow of death, the valley of the shadow of death. Can I tell you something? Most people, when they get to the valley, they stop walking. They just give up. And see, they don't have any character. It takes character to walk through the valley. It takes character to walk through the valley. It takes somebody that says, you know what? God's anointed me. God told me that He's never going to leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, I can walk through this valley because the Bible says that He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's right here with me. In fact, it says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what? Sometimes we go through the valley because of our decisions. Okay, I'm going through this valley because God's chastening me. I did something wrong. So therefore, I have to take my little punishment, but I'm not going to get down about it. I'm going to say, Lord, teach me.
Amen.
Sometimes we go through the valley, it has nothing to do with us. So Job did nothing wrong. He went through a big valley. There's another guy in the Bible as a teenager. His name was Joseph. He had a dream. And then all of a sudden, everything in his life got turned upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything went upside down for Joseph. His whole family, his brothers threw him in a pit and then sold him to some some people that went and sold him to another guy for slave. He did nothing wrong, but he had character. You see, he did right even though everybody else was doing him wrong. There's not a whole lot of people that would have fled from Potiphar's wife. But he had character. He believed in his God. There's not a whole lot of people that when he got to jail would have got up and said, you know what? I'm in jail. I'm going to be the best inmate that they got. And they'll make me a trustee and I'll go out and I'll do the best I can here. You see, Joseph had character. Everybody in the Bible that did anything for God screwed up. You know why? Because they were human. We're a bunch of screw-ups. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross for us, because we're screw-ups. But they all had character. You see, when we're doing great, we're making lots of money, everything's going fine, and we're Christians, it's easy to say, praise God. Praise God. What happens when the money goes away? What happens when the health goes away? What happens when this valley gets really, really deep and dark? What if my world got turned upside down? Would I still be praising God? Paul and Silas were. It says in verse 5, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil. You know what? Sometimes we need to be like Jack Halls and say, you know what? The fire's not here like it used to be. I need to be anointed with some fresh oil. I need the Holy Spirit to take over my life again. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. Where am I? I don't have my big sheet here. I got 4 or 5 different things. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He's already done it. If you're saved, you got blessed. And as we mature and as we grow as Christians, He gives us those blessings. Sometimes we get blessed. You know what the Bible says? When thou art reviled, what does it say? For my name's sake, blessed are you. When people curse you, when people slam the door in your face when you're knocking on doors, when somebody hates the way you live because you live godly, you don't run around and cuss and do all the things that they do, and they hate you for it, you get blessed for that. I want to be blessed. I've lived enough of my life not being blessed that when I got saved, I want to be saved. I want to be blessed. I mean, I want to be blessed. So what you do when the hard times comes determines your character. It also determines your faith. The Bible says that in 1 Peter 1:7 says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. You see, what we do in the hard times determines how far we're going to bounce back up. The Bible says that the just man falls 7 times, Jay, but rises up again. The unjust man doesn't rise up. I know a guy that, this guy was so smart. He was so intelligent. He was in Vietnam. He was a Vietnam vet. And his wife left him. He was building houses, had a great, great business. His wife left him, and he died. He became a drunk. And that's all he did for the rest of his life, just drink. And when the drinking buddies, he got kicked out. He wouldn't work anymore. All he did was drink. And when his drinking buddies, they all died. And he had to move away. I called him Uncle Mike. He wasn't my uncle, but I called him Uncle Mike because I was friends with his nephew. And his nephew dropped him off his house to go to work. And he says, when I get off work, I'll come by and get you. We'll get your house, and you're going to go live with me. And he had a Christmas hat on, and he had two guns, and he went like that. And my buddy had to go and find him. You know why? He was intelligent, but he didn't have any character. He thought that because he couldn't sit around and drink with his buddy, his life was over because his wife left him. You see, I guess he made her his Lord. Where am I? That the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. You know what God wants in heaven? He wants people that really love Him. Okay, that's why He gave us a free will. Because, see, if you don't love Me, I don't want you around. There's a lot of people that walk up to somebody that want something from them and do anything for them in front of them. But when you leave, well, then they act totally different. And I told you the story. When my boss left, I worked harder when my boss was gone than when he was here. Because I didn't want him to come back and say, hey, why didn't you get this done? My brother-in-law did this to me. He gave me a work ethic, and then he said, now look, if you're making the man money, you're going to get money. And I made good money everywhere I went. Does everybody know who Walt Disney is? Do you know he won 22 Academy Awards in his lifetime? He founded Walt Disney Productions. He founded Disneyland, Walt Disney World. It started in 64. It was it got finished in 66. He died in 64, I believe. And his brother finished it. Do you know he went bankrupt in 1923? Went bankrupt. And in 1941, there was a strike. He came back, started making some more money. And in 1941, things was going really good. And the animation crew or something like that struck. And it set things back again. You know, in 1955, he opened up Disneyland. You know how much Disneyland cost? $17 million. How would you like to be alive in 1955 with $17 million? Can I tell you something? It wasn't an easy thing. He just didn't make it all at once. He went bankrupt. There was a strike. He had a nervous breakdown. There was a lot of ups and downs in his life. But he kept going. He had a dream, and he wanted that dream to be filled. And once he had that dream filled, he had another dream. And he had another dream. And he had another dream. What's your dream? I know when I was a teenager, I had 122,000 dreams, and that was the first week of July, and then I changed over to a couple more on the second week of July. I didn't have anywhere I was going when I was a teenager. When I graduated high school, it was like, what do I do now? That's the only thing I was thinking about, getting through with school. I got through with school, and it was like I was lost. And that's why, I think that's why I went down to Houston to work for my brother-in-law. And he started teaching me things. David started as a teenager. Daniel started as a teenager. And Joseph started as a teenager. Boy, I wish Tracy would have started as a teenager. You know, when I got saved, I made a decision that I wasn't going to have sex until I got married. Because that's what God says. Boy, I wish I'd have done that my whole life. You know why I didn't have sex until I got married? You know why? Because that's what God says to do. It doesn't say that. The world doesn't say that. The people in school teaching our kids doesn't say that. But that's what God said. And my Bible says that there's only one person you should fear, and that's God. You should fear what the consequences are going to be when you don't do right. You see, God's a loving God, but He's a just God. You don't get second chances with Him. If you do something, there's consequences for it. Why? Because He's just. So, chasing. It ain't, I'll do better next time. I know you're going to do better next time. Chasing. And if you don't do better the next time, chasing. You know why? Because He loves us. And He wants us to do better.
Amen.
He doesn't want us to go down the road that most people go down. You see, the Bible says when you're going through hard times, don't faint. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reading. Don't stop believing. See, if you stop, God stops. I don't know why, but we think it was the bed. But Gordy and Terry's place over there where we stay had a peace about it that passes all understanding. It was peaceful. Can you have peace in your valley? My mother-in-law, I know, has been in pain for months and months and months and still is in pain. But you really don't hear her griping about it. In fact, you see her helping other people. She's helping us. They're helping us right now. You see, that's peace in your valley. You see, I've had enough turmoil in my life that I want peace. And it says in verse 5 of Psalm 23, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know what? I want my enemies to be at ease when I'm around. I want to be at ease when my enemies are around. You know why? Because in Psalm 37 it says, Fret not because of evildoers. They're going to get what they deserve. I'm more worried about what you're doing than what the evildoers are doing. You do right. You have the character to say, you know what? The world says that I should do this, but I am going to do this. Because God says it. Because I want to be blessed. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless my life. I want Him to bless my family. I want Him to bless the people around me. And if I'm doing right, God's going to do that. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have hard times, because we're going to have hard times. God does this. God will teach you for a while, and then He'll test you on what He taught you. And He'll bring you to that edge. Now, you can quit anytime you want to. But if you don't quit, He'll take that testing away for a while. I don't know about y'all, but when I was in school, I didn't like tests. But I wasn't scared of them. Because, see, I listened to the teacher. Back in my heyday, the teacher got up in front of the students and taught.
Amen.
Okay? And you could understand, if you just pay attention, you could understand how to fix something and then or do something. And then after she got through them, I could do my work. So I knew I could pass a test. I was AB honor roll all the way up until I started rebelling. When I started rebelling, that's when my grades dropped. Because, see, I didn't want to study. And if I was an A and B honor roll student, my friends who were flunkies might not like me. So, what do you really believe? Is the Lord really your shepherd? And is He leading and guiding you? Are we really trying to please Him? Or are we trying to please ourselves? Are we trying to row our own ship? Are we trying to get to where we want to go on our own highway? But see, what you really believe, what you really do in the hard times, it shows your faith. And it also tells you how far you're going to bounce back up. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because there's nobody can do something to me without God saying, okay. But, for thou art with me. God's with me. In this valley, God is with me. On a mountaintop, God is with me. So I'm not going to fear no evil. I'm going to have that peace that passes understanding. But this is what I like about it. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. He'll make you to lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? There's going to be plenty enough food for you. And you're lying down. You're resting. And the waters are going to be still. There ain't going to be no storms in your life that's going to touch you. He restoreth my soul. Thank God for that. And He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. You know what? We're like that horse that really is sick and tired of people poking it. It's really sick and tired of being cooped up in a little bitty space. They see if a horse is a flight animal. So if it gets in a space, it can't flee. God doesn't want us to flee. God wants us to go through the trials, but with Him. And God wants us to do right. And God wants us to have the character that we have on a mountain in the valley. So what you really do when the valley comes, when the storm comes, that test, if you have the character, then you'll get through that valley all right. That you'll understand that God's with you. Whether it's your fault or God's just testing you. That God's going to get me through this valley. In any situation you're in, you got to understand whether you're a teenager or whether you're old. Is God going to be pleased if I do this? Is God going to be okay if I do this? Because if He's not, then you're going to pay some consequences. You see, you need to quit trying to please the crowd and your friends and start trying, or yourself, and start trying to please God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, that You are a good, good Father. And I thank You, Lord, that You're a good shepherd. And Lord, if we would just go where You tell us to go and do what You tell us to do, our life will be blessed. I pray, Lord, that we would understand that who we hang around with determines our altitude. That if we hang around the right people, do the right things, then we're going to be blessed. And Lord, I thank You for that. Pray, Lord, that You give us a good night. Thank You for the good day that we had. And I thank You that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Song comes to mind. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. I think that's in our book somewhere. Someone find that. Three 309. You nailed it, Bill. Dare to be a Daniel. I shall not want. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and sing just a verse of this.